Hello, everybody. Welcome to Goldbridge Saves Football. What a show we've got for you today. Will is back, but also he's going to scrutinise some of my Premier League predictions where I've said Arsenal aren't going to win anything this season and Man United are back. We've also got one player where we'll pick one player for Arsenal who we think would help them win the league and they're probably not going to do it. We've also got a few either-ors. What else have we got, Will?
We've got so much to come. We've got Premier League predictions. You've sobered up, so do you mean what you actually said when you were pissed as a fart yesterday? I think you do, so I'm going to debate those topics.
Havertz wouldn't start for Spurs.
Steady now, let's save the meat for the bone.
Robbie Fowler's a prat.
Wow. And that's just in general. Yeah, Jay Humphries.
Chelsea
going
to
in.
Be flop of the season, maybe.
Wayne Rooney carrying on his managerial legacy. So much to come, but I've been away for 2.5 weeks. And in that time, you've become a fan of the EFL. You're asking me questions about it, so it fills my soul with joy.
Have West Ham won the transfer window?
Steady on now. And you're a Sunday Times best-selling author.
Oh, yeah. Big up the podcast. Some of you will have bought it. In at number two on the Sunday Times bestseller list with Goldbridge Football, according to Goldbridge, get in.
Get in the book.
It's a bit of a tongue twister, but trust me, when you read it, it isn't. It's basically porn for the lips in a footballing sense. Penguin decided not to go with that. But
porn for the lips is quite good, actually, in a racy way, the way we're getting to. So
the book, it's doing really well. And you can also get it on Audible and listen like you are now. But Will, you've got a few problems with me.
Yeah, well, have I?
Yeah.
Which problems have I got? I think in terms of your head getting bigger, that's a big worry for me. Now you've got that to add to your moniker
I've just lost weight and you don't lose weight off your head.
But I think, looking at your Premier League predictions, I think there's some big holes in there. Well, you've gone out big, you've had a few Madries down the pub, and you've said, Arsenal fans, you're getting it.
No, absolutely not. Check out Premier League Predictions. If you're watching it on video, you can check it out on this channel. If you're on podcast, get on That's Football. The title says Arsenal win nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Well, yeah, but in terms of, you've said that they're going to win no trophies, but is a second place finish, that's winning something. That's winning the game of life, Mark, in terms of Manchester City. Like, we're going into a season where Pep Guardiola, hopefully, fingers crossed, it could be his last year. Didn't turn away down those England speculation as well, so maybe we're waiting for him. I just think we've got 12 months of Pep. It's like having your second year at uni. You know the third year's to come. The first year was great. We've just got to get through it, and then we can celebrate the Premier League will be back. So we've got 12 months of...
Yeah, I think with regards to Arsenal, we've probably just lost about 300 Arsenal fans from the podcast as they leg it off to social media to slag me off. But there's a method to what I'm saying. I mean, it is a big statement to say Arsenal will win nothing this year before the season's even started. But
I'm saying they were going to finish 15th. I think that was a bit too far.
That's fake news. That's fake news. No, I'm trying to remember what I said because I had had a few. But if I remember correctly, I said that they won't win anything because they'll be so focused, like they have been on the last 2 years, competing with Pep and pushing Man City close, that I don't think they can focus on the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup or the Champions League and push Man City as close as they have. And the longer game for them is to eventually move City aside and win the biggest prize, which is the Premier League. So what I'm saying is, I think Arsenal are a victim of this. I mean, Man United, with all due respect, are nowhere near Arsenal, and we've won the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are a better team and they've won nothing, but they've been fighting Man City close for 2 years. And I just think, it's all or nothing.
Well, as well, and also...
Would Arsenal fans rather have a Carabao Cup and an FA Cup or fight for second place? I mean, obviously, some people would say, well, the trophies are better, but they're going for a bigger goal.
And
they've just got to score it.
Like you said, it's the bigger picture, isn't it? Like they're on a journey where that's the worrying thing in terms of this season. Like I think we're going to come on to one player that they need to sign or that we think they should sign. It's like last year was such a marked improvement, wasn't it? With Rice coming in, Timber. And that feels like a new signing as well because he's been injured all last season. But I just think they're still yet to take that step in the transfer market. But then nobody else is doing that anyway. So I don't know, it just feels a bit flat at the moment in terms of like, you'd say like, can they make that statement signing up front? Can they make another statement signing on the wings or midfield just to propel them forward to be, put the pressure on Man City because they're not really doing any business either.
I also think that we love the Premier League. I'm very excited about it coming back. We've got loads to talk about. I want to talk about the West Hams and the Fulhams and the Ipswiches as well because we just want to be about that. And we'll give you an update on our EFL. But there's so much to unpick in relation to, who's going to have a good season, bad season, signings, etc. But I think you've got to be real as well. And I think if an Arsenal fan is honest, they know what I'm saying. You're going to compete with Man City. You're not going to stop them winning the league, probably, but you will be trying to get close to them in preparation for what you've done over the last 2 years, which has become the team that everybody sees as the pretender to the throne. And to do that takes a lot of effort and consistency that I think that when you've got away games at maybe someone like Fulham on a Saturday, and then you've got an FA Cup game on the midweek in the fifth round when they do that, and you're away to someone like Spurs, you might be looking at Fulham's more important. So I don't see how Arsenal can prioritise. They're good enough to win the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup, but I don't know how they can prioritise that and also try and go for City. But that's the challenge. So when I say they're not going to win anything, I still think they're the second best team in England. It's just I think that it's very difficult for them to do both.
Well, and, you know, we just come off the Olympics. That's a silver medal. Some people fight all their lives for that. I do think, though, Manchester City, like, they've got weaker this off-season. Like, with this, getting rid of Alvarez, I know you went in on that.
A lot of money.
A lot of money going into that, which I think is fine. I think you're looking too far into that. I think they are...
It's always Man City, though.
Yeah, but yeah, because they're the best team and they've got the best player, so they are going to get the
most
funds for them.
I feel that City have got a deal in them in the last few weeks.
What, like a big...
Maybe it'll still be Bruno Guimaraes.
Off the back of last season and this season, and I think... I just feel like De Bruyne is getting old. I do feel like Arsenal could really... It went down to the last game of the season this year, so it's not like Arsenal weren't pushing, but I don't know. I'm still going Manchester City to win the league, but I wouldn't be as surprised if Arsenal were to win it this year.
I think there's interesting aspects to this season. Like United, I think, are going to be good. Chelsea could be good. Newcastle, I think, will be good.
Do you think Chelsea could be good?
I don't know. Actually, I think Chelsea are probably my pick for flop of the season out of the top eight, if I had to pick one. But I think it's so difficult to pick.
Yeah.
But what's not difficult to pick is that Man City are favourites to win the league. And that's the most disappointing element of the Premier League.
But then even the story for that is like, can we get an announcement from Pep sort of similar to Jurgen Klopp? Is he going to announce that this is his last season, he's going to leave? So then that gives you some light at the end of the tunnel. Like even with the Alvarez thing you've been speaking about, like because he sort of spoke away on international duty, didn't he? And he was like, oh, I'm sort of happy with my minutes, could do more. And it sort of feels like, you know, as much as we go on about Pep being this ultimate tacticianer, the main thing for him, isn't it, is the harmony of the dressing room. And if that goes out of place, Cancelo, gone. It feels like Alvarez might have stepped out of line as well, and that's why he's going, or it's just a lucrative fee. So there's no point us talking about Manchester City too much, I don't think, is
there? No, no one wants to talk about Man City too much unless it's them getting relegated.
Well, yeah, and that, you know, but then also I feel like we're going into a season again where, like, we're not just looking at spreadsheets again, where it's like we're still waiting to hear from Leicester. There's rumours about Everton getting another one. Manchester City we're still waiting on, and those are the ultimate headlines, and we're just still in this realm of, like, What is the answer? Because we haven't had it yet.
The most exciting thing about Man City this season will be the court case.
Yeah, probably.
And when does that kick off? November. But look, they are the best team. They have won it 6 out of the last 7. They probably will win it this year. That's my prediction. I would love Arsenal to do it. But I think to do it, they've got to sacrifice all the other trophies to focus 100% on that. And let's not forget, you've still got Liverpool, who I think are a bit of a dark horse as well. And it's a very competitive top eight. I hope some of them can take points off Man City, but I don't see it.
Well, let's stick with Arsenal because we want to look into the transfer business, because in this world of where nothing's happening, let's make something happen in our head. So one player for you that they should sign.
I think for Arsenal, and I've said it for a while now, if you gave them Ollie Watkins or Alexander Isak, and I say those two because they're Premier League proven, if you gave them a Premier League proven striker that will guarantee you 20 goals, probably more goals than an Arsenal side, then that's a differential. That's an improvement that makes them, you know, compete with Manchester City. So I think for Arsenal, if you gave them a Watkins or an Isak, they would be probably Premier League title winners. I don't know why they haven't done it. I mean, obviously Arteta probably, well, you know, even, you know, as a Pep disciple, Pep had Aguero and he's got Haaland, who are prolific. Havertz is a little bit niche and so is Jesus. But I mean, look, I look at that Arsenal side and I personally don't think Jesus or Havertz start for Spurs.
Yeah,
straight face, good. I don't, and that's not because Arsenal aren't a good side. I think Solanke wouldn't have been a bad signing for Arsenal in the sense that I think Arsenal just need a fox in the box, you know, a goal scorer, hence a Watkins or an Isak. I know it's very difficult to do, but they did it with Declan Rice last year, and I think if they had that, then that to me would be the next step for Arsenal to take them to the one player that they need to probably topple City would be goals. We've said it before about Chelsea as well. I'd say it with relegation teams, but yeah, I think Arsenal need a striker, and that's not that Havertz and Hazes aren't good. I just think they need that prolific number nine. And, you know, they're not cheap, but that's what I think.
Yeah, but also, look, like, the Ivan Toney stuff still baffles me. I mean, we've been speaking about it since, like, last January where, you know, like, it's not like he had an amazing Euros, but he didn't do anything to sort of bring his stock down either. And you think, you know, you said Arteta's a disciple of Pep. Maybe that ties into the sort of dressing room thing where I don't know anything about Ivan Toney apart from the facts that have been reported, but it just feels that there's something that isn't right, because now he's been linked with a move to Saudi Arabia, whereas a second striker at Arsenal, or even leading the line to give him a chance, there's another man that's a proven Premier League goal scorer in a Brentford side who have never been pulling up trees. So I just don't know what's going on there. It feels like we're sort of due a Netflix mystery.
It's a bit like me. You know, a lot of people say, why is he not presenting Match of the Day? He's better than Lineker. Why is he not hosting a brand new top of the ratings show on Sky Sports News or something like that to get it back on top? And everyone's saying that. And I sort of agree. There's something going on behind the scenes. It's almost like you've been, you know, targeted behind the scenes. And I know that's the case with me. Because with Ivan Toney, proven Premier League goal scorer. Over 2 years. Yeah, he had the gambling charges, but they're gone. And he went to the, you know, if there was a problem with that, England would not have took him to the World Cup. You know how conservative the FA are. So I don't get it. He's based in London, 1 year left on his contract. He is a prolific goal scorer. What, 50 million quid?
I told you this before, Mark. In the Football Manager realm, and that is very accurate, I got him for 23 million in his last year of the contract.
Well, I was saying this on the United stand. I mean, I don't know whether he's right for United in the sense that you've already got Højlund and you've got Xerxes and whether it's what United need at the moment. But I said on the last day of the transfer window, if he's still at Brentford, I'd pick him up, I'd send him a WhatsApp and say 25 million.
And you say, who's this? It's your old friend, Mark.
Not me personally. Be like,
just do the business.
What power have you got? You haven't got 25 million and you're not the CEO of Man
United. How big's your head now?
But no, I think it would be worth going to Brentford on the last day with 1 year left on his contract and saying there's 25 million. I mean, they might say no, but why don't... I mean, Arsenal, I suppose, Arteta's like, I want to win the league. He might not be the right player, but why don't Chelsea want him? Why have Spurs gone with Solanke? It's like, there's got to be something about Ivan Toney that Chelsea, Spurs don't want him as well.
Yeah.
When he's scored so many goals for Brentford. I mean, it might just be personality. It might be, but then he got picked for England. I don't get, I mean, look, he's not Cantona, but Man United went and got Cantona from Leeds and it was massive. Sometimes personality, dressing room, you know,
even like a
Balotelli
Chelsea.
At Man City did well for a couple of years, didn't he?
Even like Chelsea, we all feel like need another striker.
Well, that's what I mean. Chelsea or Spurs, for me. Look, we just said it about Arsenal there.
Even Villa, like, is a, like, not, I well, mean, you're not going to replace Watkins. Yeah, but like, you're going into a Champions League.
You can't put a price on goals.
No.
But you can. But you know what I mean? Like, if you put Ivan Toney up front for Ipswich,
yeah,
they'll stay up.
Yeah.
If you put Ivan Toney up front for Ipswich, they will stay up because he will score 15 to 20 goals. And those 15 to 20 goals will keep Ipswich in the league. Yeah. So I'm not saying that Ipswich should buy Ivan Toney, and Ivan Toney would probably say, piss off. Mm. I'm not moving to wherever Ipswich is. It's near Norwich. Well, where's that? East Anglia. Where's that?
But like, you know, West Ham have bought Fulcrew. So that, like, that's a good signing.
Oh, what a signing,
but,
yeah.
But again,
they could have gone for Toney.
Yeah, you've probably got Toney for about the same amount of money.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more.
I think something behind the scenes is going on with Ivan Toney. And I don't think it's as sinister as the gambling or anything like that.
No, no, no.
I just think he's had his card marked and a lot of people don't want to take the...
Yeah.
Well, obviously wrongly so, because he was part of the England FA, England
he's,
team.
But he's beloved at Brentford and not just for his goals.
And he scores for Brentford. And I just think as a manager, I would be like, let's have a chat. Let's go down to... Let's have a weekend at Centre Parks.
Yeah, nice. Always
a meal won't work because you could fake it. Mm. Let's go to Centre Parks. Let's see how you react on the climbing wall.
Yeah.
Let's see how you react to which is your bike, because he might get angry and go, I thought it was this one with the lock. And
I'll tell you the ultimate one. Get him on the late rapids after 9 p.m. when there's a bit more speed. They are going faster. You've done the first break. You get him around the corner. You say, sign this. And if he does... You've got your man.
And after 2 or 3 days at Centre Park, you've been through all the ups and downs, literally on the rapids. You know, you're getting annoyed of the middle-class idiots in the shop. And, you know the personality. And then you go, you can be my striker.
Yeah.
That's what
that's a good interview series going forward, actually. You taking Premier League players for a weekend at Centre Park.
I love it.
Like Louis Theroux, weird weekends away, actually.
Yeah.
But just in Centre Parks.
If we started it off with me and McTominay.
Yeah.
it would bang.
On the high ropes.
He just wouldn't talk to me for the whole weekend. Yeah. And then, I get him on the high ropes and he'd just break and go, yeah. Oh, you tell you what, this is good.
Yeah.
I told you I was a nice guy. It took you 3 days.
Actually, I think that's a good format because you could go, you don't reveal the itinerary until they get there. And I've done it based on what I think you like, Scott McTominay.
Yeah, there you go.
Food. Right, get in touch, Centre Park.
He'd just want to be in the gym and I'd be like, come on, let's have a pint.
Yeah, let's get down the
Rapids. Let's go down a pub. Rapids. Let's go down the Rapids. Anyway, yeah, so I don't know what's going on with Tony.
Liverpool. You had them in third position.
Yeah.
I've been away every other video or every video you've done on Liverpool. You've been sort of praising them, waxing lyrical. You're happy with Arnie
Slot? Well, let's do this thing that you were going to do, higher or lower.
Yeah.
Because this will feed in nicely with Liverpool.
Yeah.
So we're going to play higher or lower. And we're going to do a few Premier League teams here. And I'm going to say who will finish higher or lower. Go.
Arsenal or Liverpool?
No, it's not that.
Which one is it now starting from?
It's ruined it. There's a bit of chewing gum on that.
It's fine. Higher or lower, Mark? Villa or United?
Well, I haven't looked at these before. higher or lower, Villa or United? I will go with United because I think Villa are a good side, and don't go saying that they're going to finish eighth. They won't. They will defy logic, but I think Champions League football and squad might be hard, and I think United are going to get top four.
Okay, so we're doing winner stays on. It's a TikTok video.
Okay.
So, United or Spurs?
Definitely United. Spurs are in the Europa League and Ange second season. I know you want to wash his car, Will, but I think Spurs this season might be a bit up and down. I'm going to go United in the top four and Spurs not.
Okay, well, United have stayed on there. United or Liverpool, Mark?
Yeah, the heart says Man United, but the head says Liverpool. I think Slot's going to slot in perfectly at Liverpool. They've had continuity is what they've clearly gone for. They haven't even bought anybody yet, and the season's about to start. So it's very clear that Liverpool have gone for continuity. We praised them a lot last year. I think Liverpool will finish higher than United, but both will be in the top four.
Lovely stuff. So that means Liverpool have stayed on, and they're going up against Arsenal now.
Well, this could be a real battle. We're going to put Arsenal in second, so Arsenal will... I've got to say Arsenal, but Liverpool are an unknown quantity in the sense that I'd put them comfortably in the top four, but I don't know how high. If Slot really exceeds expectation in his first season, he could challenge for second place. I think they could be a dark horse, but I'm going to say logically Arsenal have got the pedigree to finish higher.
Arsenal, City, wow. This two is, juggernauts.
Oh, this is just so close. I mean, you know, my head says and my heart and everything else says Man City because it will be Man City. Boring.
There we go.
But Man United back.
Yeah, Man United are back. Do you want to do them or Liverpool first? Because I see you're chomping at the bit to speak about United, but you do that on a daily basis.
I do, and we don't have to talk about it for long, but I will throw it to you.
Smart, sensible business. Like, I think you summed it up well, you know, when they were going in for Branthwaite and they were trying to be charged to the nth degree and get the fee up here. Like, we ain't about that anymore. So Jim's in, so Dave's in. Has he got a sir? Everyone's sir in there at Ineos. And I think that they're saying, yeah, we're working within our limits. You've got De Ligt, who I remember fondly from them Ajax days. Hasn't worked out with his two moves after, but if...
But he did... Oh, this is such a myth. It did work at Juventus.
No, it did, but not to the... Like, to the you,
they sold him for 70 million quid.
No, but that at that age, you want him to be the next coming of Christ, which probably is a bad thing with football.
I think he wanted to go to Bayern.
No, but what I'm saying is, what worked best for De Ligt when he was under control by Erik ten Hag, not literally.
And he's back now.
It's not Thunderbirds.
Back in the family.
Exactly. So I think that's just a smart bit of business. Got him for a good fee. Wages not too bad.
Well, I don't know. This time right, and I don't know what the wages are.
But I just think that's smart business, and they've identified stuff. The Xerxes one, I feel a little bit interesting because of like...
He's not used him yet.
No, and also like Hoyland sort of, when he was good, he was great, but then sort of had those spells where he didn't. So maybe that's where you think they'd go back to the old experience signing.
Well, they might. We were just talking about Tony. They might. You never know. This United Ineos movement,
About continuity with Arnie Slot in terms of the players. I think just keeping Erik ten Hag, having the feel-good end to the season. I think the performance in the Charity Shield was really good. I think you just got to focus on that youth drive as well of like the Ahmeds, the Garnachos, the Mainus. I think if you're a fan, that just really excites you, and it sort of you can get behind that as a philosophy for the manager. And I thought Sir Jim spoke so well about... It's a big thing coming into football. I've got a theory on it about like everyone has got this grade A game of trying to buy teenagers, early 20-somethings to sell on. And that's great if you can do it, like a Real Madrid can attract the best talent in the world. But like further down the league, I just feel that there's going to be such a influx of like 30 your old players that we could have another renaissance of Sam Allardyce at Bolton, you know, when you've got Jorge after Kotchers, because people just being like, well, I can't get him on a good deal and I can't sell him, so what's the point of him, when actually people are playing longer and they can still play at the top of their game. But as Man United, I've got them in my top four. I think Champions League should be sewed up for them.
And that's yes, yes, and yes, I agree. And that's Will Brazier saying that, top four for Man United. But no, I think you probably nailed it in the sense that continuity, we spoke about that last season. I was stunned that Poch left Chelsea. I who knows what Chelsea will do this year, but it's another reset. I think keeping Ten Hag and allowing him the third season just gives you that continuity that a reset and a new manager doesn't. The expectation has to be top four, unless there's some ridiculous injury crisis again. I think De Ligt is a transformative signing in relation to how Man United will play. Yoro as well, obviously very unlucky with the injury there. They do need a midfielder. But no, I think United have got to get top four. There is a bit of a pressure. Hence, I said United are back. You know, people are going, oh, here we go. But I'm not saying we're going to win the league. I'm saying we're going to get top four. And we know that Man City are very predictably the best team. But beyond that, I think from 2 to 8, really, really competitive. Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, Newcastle, Villa, Spurs. Yeah. If you finish fourth, you know, you can't just dismiss it. Spurs could be very good this season. They've added a goal scorer in Solanke.
Yeah, well, you go back to our Premier League predictions, especially yours with Spurs, and like, you know, rightly so, I'm not calling you out on it, but like when Big Ange came in last year, nobody could predict that start. Yeah, so I think you can do it all well on the spreadsheet and paper, but let's you know, no one had Villa finishing fourth.
I'll say what I said last season. VAR's crap, and this Premier League would be immense if it didn't have Man City in it. And look, regardless of Man City's charges, we can all try and kick them out, but it's still true. It's not necessarily Man City's fault unless they are guilty. But if they weren't in this league, because the race from second to eighth is incredible. Like, it is incredible.
Yeah, that again ties back to the worrying thing for me is I think the main headlines are going to be off the pitch again this season, which doesn't bode well for, like, you just need Man City to... I think Manchester City could have a slow start to the season based on...
But like, we know they can afford it.
But even like the...
Literally.
The amount of turnover that they've had into... I think like the players from England and Spain get back today, I think, in terms of training. So they could start slowly.
We've got Chelsea first game as well.
Yeah. But also it's like, then it ties into the fact that they just become a juggernaut after Christmas or some sort of catalyst event that where, you know, like when Cancelo went or some injury comes in and De Bruyne becomes a magic number 10 or just something seems, there always seems to be something, an event, and then it turns around for them even when it's going bad.
Yeah.
So Liverpool we've spoken a little bit about, but one player for them.
I think for Liverpool, they've nearly got it. Yeah. It's Tubimendi in the midfield. Yeah. We were so impressed with their midfield last year. Defensively, they've got the right options. Up front, again, lots of options with Diaz, Jota, Salah, Nunez, Gakpo. There's probably another one I can't remember. They've got some good young players coming through as well. I just think Arnie Slot with that double pivot, which he plays a lot. They've got McAllister. Endo's been rumoured to go. Gravenberch's probably not settled yet, but you need a few in there. If they bring a really top-notch holding midfielder, you know, someone who's good in possession, I think that gives them a real chance of... I don't see why Liverpool won't comfortably be top three. I mean, I even predicted they'd win the Champions League.
Yeah, you did. I feel that your Champions League prediction tends to be the most pissed prediction.
I always want to be a bit out there.
I feel like I can smell the alcohol in your breath when you're doing Champions League prediction.
Yeah, because I think Real Madrid or Man City is such a boring pick. But yeah, I mean, look, we could be here in a couple of months going, Slot's going to get the sack.
Well, that's the thing. I think he's done well in terms of just keeping that stability. And like we've said, like Salah, Van Dijk, Trent, everyone's that there's been rumours around are staying. So
the players have got to get on board. If they don't.
And that's very easy to tell from like, the level that Jurgen Klopp had, that sort of level of engagement with them to Arne Slot.
Well, look at United when David Moyes came in. You got all these stories. I think it was like Ferdinand saying that they were showing him, they were showing videos of Jagielka. Someone else was saying that you weren't allowed chips and stuff like that. I mean, that sounds very, very basic, but it's players not buying in, going, Sir Alex is better than you. And that is something that at the moment, Slot doesn't seem to have coming out. You've had Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott being really positive. So it's that continuity word, isn't it? I think in modern football, so many owners are about changing things too quickly. And yeah, I mean, I think when the writing's on the wall, you've got to do it. But I was saying, like, I don't know whether you saw that I was like saying, you know, who would be flop of the season out of the top eight. But my prediction for sacking was Nuno at Forest, because I couldn't really see any reason why you'd sack any of the bottom three, because I think they'll all go down.
Yeah.
And then every other manager, I think,
well, I tell you,
there's no real push unless something mad, you know, unless Spurs are in the bottom three at Christmas. I don't see anything, any reason to sack. Yeah, even a Marco Silva at Fulham or the Palace manager, I think it's a very competitive league.
The one I think maybe not sacked but could go is Eddie Howe, just because I feel like with Amanda Staveley leaving, Mitchell coming in, I think...
Ashworth.
Ashworth's gone. But apparently their relationship wasn't as close as to, that we all thought about. But I just feel like that it feels like what's next for this Newcastle side, and it probably needs to be like, I really back Eddie Howe and think he could do the job, but it just feels that there's a bit of uncertainty there. The England job's looming as well.
Oh, I don't think it is.
No, I do. I
do think they've just done what they did with Southgate. No, oh, he's an interim. Oh, he's won against Luxembourg. There's the job.
Just have a bit of faith, please.
No, I prefer Carsley to Southgate, but they're going to do it again.
But I just, yeah, I just feel like he, this feel like we said it last season going into like, last season going into that season, I just feel like there was stuff up in the air then, and he survived it, but he was well thought of by certain people at that club, and like Amanda Staveley's left. I don't know, it just feels something that's brewing in my waters, Mark, and it's maybe that American tap water that I've been drinking.
Well, I disagree, you know I do. I'm stubborn, and I've said that I think Newcastle could be the dark horse for top four. No European football, one game a week, still got Gomez, still kept Gordon, just massive.
Back lines.
Like, Botman and Shaw are reliable.
When Dan Burns got to fill in at centre-back.
I mean, look, there could be an ageing problem in that back four. Yeah. They've not been as active in the transfer window, but Guehi might be going there. He'd be a very good signing. Pope will be back fit. Isak's going to score your goals. As long as they can avoid
got
key
a good
injuries.
Start to the season
Tonali
as well.
Will be back somewhere.
Tonali. That's
good start to the season on the fixtures. I think Newcastle could have a good seat. I mean, they'll do really well.
You've changed me. I think they'll win the league.
They'll do really well to get top four, but there's no reason why they can't do it. I think the thing that interests me about Newcastle is, where did it all go wrong? Like, Staveley's gone.
No, but that was. But I think that was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it feels like I remember with Newcastle saying they'll win the league in the 5 years. And now I'm like, well, they're not. Yeah, I think FFP's done them, hasn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because they should be going into a window now with probably a £200 million budget, signing the likes of, I don't know, maybe like a Pedro Neto that went to Chelsea. Or there's so many signings that you see that probably should be a Newcastle one. And again, that just goes to more of the power of Manchester City, where they're going to be a juggernaut. And...
I think Newcastle just haven't been able to do what we all knew they would do, because they're the richest club in the world, aren't they? But they just can't get the money in.
Yeah, so that's why I worry about. I'd probably say Eddie Howe to go first.
It's a horrible situation for Newcastle if you're a Newcastle fan, because you know you've got the money, and like last year was a waste of time because you're not in Europe now, so that's less revenue, which means you can't spend that money.
Yeah.
They really do need European football. I mean, Eddie Howe's going to go at some point. We said a year ago, will Eddie Howe be manager at the start of this season? And we both said no.
Yeah.
So he's, and not in a bad way. It was just like at some point, that evolution of Newcastle will be to move on from Eddie Howe to something a bit bigger. But
then I just find them, I think they're just a bit stuck as well, because like...
They are stuck, yeah.
Because you bring a manager in to replace Eddie Howe, but then you're going to be wanting a high-profile manager. But then it's like they've still got like a lot of that aging existing team that's not to that ability that Eddie Howe has absolutely like juiced the life out of. So
the handbrake's on with Newcastle. The progression of where I thought they would be, I thought last year in the Champions League, definitely Champions League this year, better players in the summer, maybe Eddie Howe goes, because we've seen it with Chelsea and Man City, but Newcastle just can't do it because of, well, we know why, because FFP is actually quite restrictive for a lot of clubs now.
Yeah, but I've got them a bit lower down than you, but I think that...
Where would you say?
I'd probably say around 7th or 8th.
All right, well, here's one. West Ham have done well in the transfer window.
West Ham have done very well.
I'm a massive fan of Fulkrug. Yeah. I really like him. Old-fashioned striker. Somerville. From Leeds. Yeah. They've already got Kudos, Bowen.
Max Kilman, I thought, was a good
Kilman, Wan-Bissaka's a very steady right back.
Tadebo's gone in.
Tadebo. I mean, they already had some good players. They've still got Alvarez, Ward-Prowse.
If you're David Moyes, you must be fucking livid. Do you know what I mean? Like,
if you're a West Ham fan, you must be ecstatic.
Oh, yeah.
Moyes is gone. Lopetegui plays good football, and they've backed him.
Yeah,
it's what West Ham fans were moaning about. You're better the devil, you know, and they'll be, West Ham fans will be going up yours, Will and Goldbridge.
Yeah,
look at what we've got.
Yeah, and I think the expectations, like rightly or wrongly, are always high there. So like for them, they probably think top eight.
Well, the players they brought in. I mean, I was going to say to you, who finishes higher, West Ham or Brighton?
West Ham.
Yeah, I mean,
with the Brighton project, I just feel like it's not coming off the rails, but I feel like we're going to the end of this. Like,
but it's that Matoma missed most of last season. Ferguson had a bad year. They might do quite well. Yeah. We've got them second game, so I hope they're crap.
Yeah, I'd be more worried about West Ham just because of the business has been good. The manager's sort of up to the level in terms of what you'd think from David Moyes, rightly or wrongly, as well on that. But
I was speaking to a Wolves fan a couple of weeks ago, and they said hopefully this season we can impregnate the top eight because we had so many points. Taking offers.
Why has he got impregnated? He
wants to shag the top eight. at least they're getting fucked. Yeah. But the problem with that is I don't think West Ham can get in the top eight.
Gary O'Neill could be a manager that gets poached.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think Palace had a great end to the season. Fulham always look... all right, here we go. Palace or Fulham, who finishes higher?
Palace. Oliver Glasner.
Lost some good players.
Elise, but I don't know. I just felt like there was a real strong identity.
Mezzetta's a good striker.
Yeah, exactly. But he's just had the Olympics, so we'll be coming back a bit tired.
Yeah.
I think Elise as well. Elise is gone, sorry.
As he's still there.
Feels like it's been a real spread out window, this. Like Mbappe feels about 34 years ago.
And boring.
And yeah.
But no, I don't think I'd put West Ham in the top eight. I mean, that's going to be the clip, isn't it?
I could see West Ham going over Aston Villa or Newcastle.
That's a cracking opening game, West Ham Villa at West Ham.
Yeah, but then you go back to like season, such a long time. I remember coming out of the Blues game, we'd just beaten Leeds, went down the pub, Newcastle 5, Villa 0.
Yeah, and look at how that
Look
ended
how
up.
It finished up.
Yeah, it's interesting. But no, I think West Ham definitely are worth a shout out.
What would you say, West Ham or Villa to finish higher?
Villa.
Really? Yeah. Even with Champions League? I mean, I just think of how it affected Newcastle last season. Like, everything went into, you know, them games against PSG where it was like all or nothing, wasn't it? It was like a bloody David versus Goliath thing. And then the injuries and the energy that it saps out. Like, and we got 8 Champions League games.
Yeah. Europa League's the same as well. They've changed that.
It could be one and done for them in the Champions League for the close future for Villa. So that's why I just worry about them. Like, they've done business. Like, Luiz going was annoying, but then getting Onana in is a good replacement. But like we said previously, going into a Champions League campaign, it should just be like, get rid of the shit, replace them with people better, when really they're having to go like for like because of this bullshit financial stuff.
Not everybody can do well. And I think at this time of the season, you get a lot of people, probably Lineker, just being positive about everybody. And actually, I think what we're here to do is actually be real. And I think a bit of real talk. How do West Ham really get in the top eight? They bought well, but it reminds me of Spurs when they sold Bale and they bought about 9 players. And it was, oh, they could win the league. And actually...
No, I know what you mean.
I can't see how West Ham get in the top eight. And I think if they did get in the top eight, their fans should be celebrating that massively because that top eight now is just so...
Yeah, but then it goes back to like that Moyes was doing that a lot.
Chelsea, but then they've gone and bought Neto in, who if he can stay fit, he's a good player. I mean, Chelsea, if I had to pick one team that would move out of the top eight for West Ham, it would have to be Chelsea because they're so unpredictable and it's a new manager and it's a new project. It's a bit like Ange last year. It's hard to predict.
Yeah.
But I mean, who else? It's all right saying West Ham get top eight, but whose place are they taking?
Yeah, no, I could genuinely see a Villa, a Newcastle, or Chelsea in there.
I'm glad you didn't say United.
And a United.
No, I think United will be in the top four unless we get injuries.
No, it's good. Speaking more about it, I think it just makes it more interesting. I think, like you said, we just got to rule City out, and then that battle from down under there is just. I think it's going to be a good one there.
I hope we do better in Europe this year because I know we were always thinking top five last year would get in the Champions League. And that's a bit embarrassing that it didn't happen because everyone messed up. I think we need to do better in Europe this year, which is why I've got United winning the Europa League and Liverpool winning the Champions League.
I don't want to be boring. Hopefully I've not been boring so far, but I am going to go for Real Madrid. I'm going to go for Real Madrid just because...
You love Jude Bellingham.
I love Jude Bellingham and they've just signed Kylian Mbappe. And I think if you're just being honest with yourself... You write that down on paper and you go, Jesus Christ, this is the superstar 11.
But I do want to see the Premier League stronger in Europe and I think it will be Real Madrid or a Premier League winner for the Champions League.
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
It's time for Pratt of the Week.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, well,
it's been a long time.
I've had to get my notebook out because there's been that many Pratts just even in the last week.
Yeah.
It's just full of them. Can I start?
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Wayne Rooney.
You've been waiting for this. I mean, it's one game, mate.
No, but and I think you're indicative of the problem with Wayne Rooney. Because
why?
Wayne Rooney is a player.
He's a nice guy.
Wayne Rooney is a player. Fantastic.
According to Ginge.
Wayne Rooney is a guy.
He's a nice guy.
Wayne Rooney is a guy. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney is a pundit on Stick to Football. I quite like. Sorry to shout out another football podcast. Wayne Rooney is a manager.
I'm sure they'll do the same to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, me and Neville are tight.
Will Brazier is a... I think Wayne Rooney is a manager... There just needs to be people around him that say, let's just take a break from this. I understand him getting back into football, but like when he was doing the PR run after being sacked at Blues, he was on the BBC coverage with Lineker and they were going, you didn't get much time, did you? It was never going to work. And the arrogance of him afterwards just to be like, he's been doing it while he's at Plymouth going, oh, it's great to get more time. It was just never going to work. And he has to admit that like he's got problems with his coaching staff that have not been sort of replicated since Derby. Like he's not had that same mix of people, and he's going into an opening. I've never seen Pie Face so sad, and I think we all love Pie Face and we don't want to see him looking like that again because he was absolutely distraught.
Pie Face won't go in on Rooney. He sort of killed his brand.
Well, it was the opening weekend of the season, and I just feel like I just know the way it's going to go with Wayne Rooney because it'll be somebody else's fault and it'll just keep getting blamed. And for a player that is so honest and so raw on the pitch, the accountability for himself, I just think is absolutely shocking.
But how is this any different to, say, you know, Southampton's manager, Leicester's manager or Ipswich? Plymouth, for me, would be one of the favourites to go down.
Yeah.
There's ways to go down,
isn't there?
Yeah, and it's opening game of the season. And you even said, look, Villa lost to Newcastle at opening game last year. I think give it a few games before people start having a go at him. And the thing I respect about Rooney is, and obviously there's a lot of other pundits that don't do this, Carragher, Ferdinand, you know, Neville, he wants to be a manager. He could easily sit there doing pro clubs with Ginge, doing Stick to Football with Neville.
That's the problem.
And making really big money.
No.
Easy work. I've played the game, this, that, and the other. And he wants to be a coach. He doesn't need to be a coach. He'll earn more money.
But he's getting a lot of those,
with Neville than he will doing that job in Plymouth. He wants to do it. Plymouth are the blame.
No, but he's getting
it's not his fault. He wants to do it.
No, but he's going and getting those opportunities because of like I've played the game. Do you know what I mean? But
as us, in the podcast world. Like, you know, you don't get the opportunities because you haven't played the game. But ultimately, that's just the way of the world until people change. I agree, there's probably better coaches than Wayne Rooney out there.
But look at who he's just been beat by at Sheffield Wednesday.
Look at Lampard and
Gerrard. Danny Roll, like, you know, nobody knew about him until, well, people would have known
about him until then.
Exactly.
Is he the manager of Sheffield Wednesday?
Like, he's gone in at Sheffield Wednesday. He's a fantastic coach and he's sort of transformed a team around. Like, I'm not saying, but then you could go on the other side that you don't have to get a young coach in. But I just feel with Rooney, like,
but you'll win in the end anyway because that coach and you know, Kieran McKenna and people like that, that they will be successful, and these ex-players like Lampard, Gerrard and Rooney won't, and fans are waking up to it and will go,
no, but then,
we don't want a coach like this. I mean, look, I listened to Rooney after the game and he was saying, you know, we're not fighting hard enough for the second ball. We let Barry Bannon run the game. And I'm like, I've done a bit of coaching. We've all played a bit of Football Manager. You know, stick a man on Barry Bannon then. But if the players aren't doing that, it's the age-old problem. I think sometimes some footballers struggle to be a manager because their standards are too high. And actually, that's why you get good coaches from the lower levels who come through because they're used to playing with players at that level. Plymouth aren't going to play their way into mid-table in the Championship. You're going to have to battle your way.
Yeah, and like, but the thing is, when it ultimately goes wrong at Plymouth, which I think it will, it'll be going back into a media where it's just like, it doesn't get challenged on anything. Like, he sits on Stick to Football and they're like, you didn't get given long, you didn't get this. It was absolutely shit. Like, he's going into press conferences at the end going, oh, we needed to make 11 substitutions. We didn't make any substitutions at half-time. I'd have made 11 substitutions at half-time. We didn't make any substitutions at half-time. He just talks himself into circles, and then we've got to go, the good Lord Wayne Rooney was great at football, so he's going to be a great manager. He's not, and he needs to be honest with himself, and it's just going to keep repeating itself.
I just think you've got an agenda against Wayne Rooney.
I 100% have got an agenda against Wayne Rooney.
And there you have it. Not, you know, I'm not even a lawyer.
I'm not going to hold
I wouldn't have him as Pratt of the Week because he lost one game against Sheffield Wednesday.
I
We can revisit.
4-0.
We can revisit, but I think he's on a hide into nothing anyway. I think it's a weird job to take. No. Unless he's logging with Pieface every week, I don't really understand what's in it for
That'd
him.
Be
because, yeah, it would be good. But I don't see Plymouth, for me, would be a relegation candidate. And he, you know how the media works. If he got mid-table with Plymouth, I'd say that's bloody impressive, and so would you. But the media won't. They'll be like, we didn't get promoted. So
they would with Rooney, mate. They're bloody hell. There'd be promotion parties. There'd be everything with him. Gary Neville, they'd get him on the podcast. Sir Wayne Rooney for getting 12th.
Next Pratt candidates. This better be good because I'm not giving it Rooney.
Well, let's stick with Sheffield Wednesday. They announced on, I think it was via their website in a statement, there's obviously a lot of talk about people buying kits. That may not
very,
be.
Very, very expensive.
Very expensive kits. People change their kits every year. I can't remember which team it was. They announced that they're keeping their kit for 2 years.
There's a cost of living crisis.
I think Luton have said that they're keeping their kit on a 2-year cycle, which is quite normal from back in the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Sheffield Wednesday have announced that if they catch anyone in the stadium wearing an illegal shirt, they will be removed from the stadium. Which I think in the modern day is just an absolutely stupid thing to write about.
Well, I was going to say, I'd love to see how they're going to do that because I was getting visions of, they said, if they see anyone wearing a shirt, they'll remove the shirt, which could be problematic if it's, females. That's not going to go very well.
Or males.
Or males. Yeah, let's not be sexist. But I suppose they're within their rights to remove anybody from the stadium they want to remove. Oh, I mean, I'm banned from Goodison Park. But
You did have a fake shirt on.
I didn't have a fake shirt on. But the point is, they can do what they want. And I suppose it's a little bit like if we've got our 100th show, which is going to be a live show. We'll listen out for that. Bring your books. We'll get them signed. But if someone turns up with a fake Goldbridge book just to get my signature, I will have them forcibly removed by Mike from security.
Yeah.
And if you end up with an injury on your way out, well, you shouldn't have brought a fake book.
No. And if you bought a fake Goldbridge book, I think that's real.
But the flip side to the coin is I'm defending Sheffield Wednesday because they are a league championship club trying to make money and it's important to them. But the price of the shirts is ridiculous and they're changing them every year. Which way do you go on this? Who's right and who's wrong?
Well, you've just backed the club, which I think is absolutely abhorrent.
I'm not backing. This is what happened with the American games. I got took out of context. I've not thought it through.
So you think fans should pay more money for shirts when, some of these replicas, let me tell you. That's what I'd be interested to know. Out there, unless they actually flip the back of the label on the shirt, some of these replicas are absolutely spot on. So,
well, in the United world, I used to love the V-neck. I've got it now. Adidas re-released it. Sharp, everything. There was a fake replica one that used to. It was very, very good. Yeah, loads of people had it. But I mean, the thing about the shirts is as well is you get it with England. You get an 80-quid one, and then you get an authentic 120-quid one. Yeah, and I don't know the bloody difference. And then we had them, and actually, I sort of preferred the 80-quid one. But
it's a bit more flattering for the middle-aged man, isn't it?
Yeah, but look, at the end of the day, which side are you on? I think it's
quite clear which side you should be on.
The clubs want to make money, and at the lower level, they need the money.
Yeah, but there's ways and means to make money.
What if everyone turned up at Solihull Moors with Jim's fake Solihull Moors shot? They're losing out on a few grand there. That's the difference between.
Yeah, but just make your shirts more reasonably
priced. Life and death.
The way that the shirts are priced is absolutely ridiculous.
It is.
And that's the bigger issue.
The markup is incredible. It really is. I mean, if I could sell my book for 100 quid,
I would. The next one is
I mentioned the book? You can still get it.
Yeah.
Football According to Goldbridge.
I've not read it yet. You haven't bought me one?
Amazon.
I'll be buying it on Amazon.
Listening to it.
No, I'm not doing that. That'd be...
Surprising to say you wait until it gets pulped, then you just grab a copy then.
No, it's not going to get pulped. No, it's doing very well.
Yeah, Sunday Times bestseller.
You can literally say Sunday Times bestselling author.
Yeah, and not, if Lineker did one, it would be Sunday Times bestseller just because he presents Match of the Day. I've had to graph for mine.
Yeah, exactly.
What's he ever done? Golden Boot at a World Cup? Yeah. I could do that. It's like the Olympics. I could do most of that.
Someone was saying, because I do listen to the podcast, he just gets a bit too lectury on his Spanish to Micah. Every time he just has to pick him up, we're like, right, we all know you've been in Spain. You've learnt the language.
He's up his own arse, let's be honest.
That's your words, not mine.
Yeah.
He's coming on the podcast soon. The live one.
I'm talking about Mika.
He's
a good lad, he is.
The last one on my list was, I've definitely been a Pratt before, is the man who invented the podcast in 2020, Jake Humphrey.
I would have guessed that straight away if you hadn't said that. I didn't know who that was going to be.
He obviously on LinkedIn.
What's happening to him now? He's on LinkedIn, yeah.
So he's not doing his TV stuff anymore. I think sort of
moved aside.
Willingly moved aside. He's got a very successful production company, very successful podcast.
Yeah.
But obviously high performance.
What's it called?
Jake Humphrey.
No, what's the podcast?
Jake Humphrey's High Performance.
podcast.
High performance podcast.
Yeah, okay. There
high
you go.
On, yeah, it's just high performance. You could go on there and talk about high performance.
It wouldn't put me on there because I'd have him.
It's not a debate. He's just asking you about your life.
Oh, well, I'm probably
Mark, what about your life? Listen, Jake, you need to
let me put you in your box.
No,
my basically... life. What about your life?
He said on LinkedIn, which obviously is the absolute the platform for.
I like Jake Humphries. Actually, he was good on Blue Peter.
Yeah, right. When we put people into
Pat
of the
up.
Week, yeah, probably anyone would beat me up.
Yeah, fair
point. You'd beat me up.
Yeah. I've played the game.
I've got the reach. They call me Billy the Reach. Anyway.
It's not, I don't like violence anyway.
No, but yeah.
That's what I always say when I know someone can beat me up. I'm like, well, what does violence solve?
Yeah, but we could have an amateur boxing fight.
Let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Let's not. Both of us with our top half out, I don't think
I'm
anyone
right.
wants to see. You were good actually in the summer, weren't you?
Yeah.
Still am. You still on your food?
Yep, still eating. Still eating. That's why I'm still here.
And are you eating?
Yeah. I need
anyway,
to put a bit of weight on to be fair.
Jake Humphrey, LinkedIn. Loving this one on the wall of the newly decorated at Celtic dressing room. And it basically says world-class basics aside, you know, all these wanky sounding. And he basically says, our message is spreading. So that's how he started his LinkedIn post. So he, from that, I've deducted that he thinks the high-performance sport world is being linked to his podcast and that Celtic are really taking the world-class basic message.
It's funny, actually, because on Sunday, I was talking to my daughter who plays football, and she was like, oh, I didn't start the game yesterday because she's gone up. She's playing 2 years up in the academy. And she was like, I didn't start yesterday, but I thought I came on in the second half and did quite well. And I said, all you got to do is realise it's a step up. Some of these girls have been playing for a year. You're not going to go straight into the team necessarily. Just got to back yourself. And as I left that, I wanted to leave it for a few seconds to think. Jake Humphries walked in the kitchen and went, it's spreading.
Yeah.
So he actually is the reason for any positivity speech or murals.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So anything positive is because of Jake Humphries' high performance podcast. We've got to shout it out. Even though I think people like Einstein and other great Benjamin Franklin, another philosopher, they would still credit, even from the 1800s, there's a guy in 2024 who's got a podcast.
Everyone's a curator now, aren't they? Where it's like, do you think in 100 year time, there'd be the great Jake Humphrey once said on Gordon Ramsay's on his podcast, learn to dance in the storm. Because the rain will make you
I don't think
wet.
There's any credibility in the modern day philosopher. You know, as I said, I think when you look back on Socrates and not the footballer, he was a very good footballer. But, you know, you look back on all these great philosophers from the Roman Empire, you know, the Greek mythology and, you know, mentions some Benjamin Franklin, very good ones, American guy from the 1800s. I think we're so awash with shit these days that I've probably come up again with some really good lines that would be brilliant for the future, like he's panicking like a cat burying a shit on a marble floor. That deserves to be in 100 years time taught in English literature or whatever, but we're so awash with shit and regurgitation that I don't think we're from a time where in 100 years time people are going to go, well, that was a great
like that guy who said,
well, look at the Sunday Times bestseller list. I'm in at number 2 and Katie Price is in at number 3.
Yeah,
that's sort of the problem.
And that's a good job that you're, I was going to say, a good job that you're on top of her.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be underneath Katie Price.
No, or on top of her.
Or on top of her.
Oh, all right, we'll have a chat about that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Each their own, it's a choice.
And we're not talking about sexual, just men.
Even if we were, it's a choice. I'm a married man.
Yeah.
I'd be like, get off.
Yes, because I'm a
man. Or I'm getting off.
Right, shall we move?
My Pratt of the Week.
Oh yeah, you've not even nominated
anyone.
My
Pratt of the Week's Robbie Fowler, and look, I've said that Liverpool are going to do well. I've said that what Klopp did last year was really constructive. I've said that I think Arne Slot will continue that work.
Have called you a Liverpool sympathiser.
I think Zubimendi will be a really good signing. I thought McAllister last year was a really good signing. I have always seen this with Liverpool, and I don't really understand it. It's like when they were going to sign Zubimendi last week. One of the first things I saw on a Liverpool website was he rejected Man United.
Right.
Joe Cole, in his book, said, when I signed for Liverpool, I was told to say that Man United had rejected me or something similar.
Oh, really?
When they bought Mane, he rejected Man United. Yeah. And then you've got Robbie Fowler doing his prediction saying, the only race that Ten Hag are going to win is the sack race. I get it. It's rivalry. Souness does it all the time. But I think We are, I think, well, look, United stands massive.
Congrats.
Right, it is. Thank you. But that's football, and the podcast, it grows as well. And I think the reason it grows is because there's an authenticity and reality to the conversation, in the sense that I don't look at Liverpool and go, oh, Arnie Slot, he's just a bold Ten Hag BTEC twat. You know, I don't. That little clip there will undo all the good work I've done on That's Football with Liverpool.
You just said it then.
But no, I think that, yeah, I'm tired of that type. Well, you do get it.
Do you know what I think it is, though? And it's probably a
bitterness.
No, it's a finickety point, and I think you've sometimes rise to it where you shouldn't.
But it's talk sport.
No, it would be a Robbie Fowler signed up to a betting partner. You had it with the Paul Parker thing, where they just go, right, we really need something out of this. Robbie Fowler says that, then it gets put into a paper because they've got a deal. And then you've reacted to it. So really, you're giving them what they want.
But what we're giving is we're not letting it go into a vacuum. We're giving it a voice to say, he's a prat. That's important because I know what they do. Yeah. It happened on Friday with Simon Jordan. I'm sure it'll happen with other people. And all I say is, as an influencer, as we are, and as fans are, if I say something stupid, you get shit. So if Robbie Fowler says something stupid, like he blocked Kev for calling him out, I'm like, well, don't stick your nose in a beehive and not expect to get stung. I was literally going to say that. I know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It is just, you know, as we've said about other people last year, they're doing it because they want to create controversy. But if you do it with that reason, you get a bit of kickback. I mean, Ten Hag's going to win the sack race. He's just been backed in the transfer market with key players, and we haven't got injuries. I don't think there's any reason to think he'll get sacked. You might have guessed it, but really, what's your angle on it, Pratt?
Right, that's a really good first return for Pratt of the Week, I think. Football.
I actually think, honestly, I've got no problem with him. It's a shame that Laura Woods took his job, but Jake Humphries has to be the Pratt.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
It's quintessentially what Pratt of the Week is, and we've got to people remind that. It's a Pratt comment, and you can't take credit for positivity murals and statements.
Yeah.
Muriels.
People will. Yeah. Muriels is just at home thinking, what have I done wrong with this?
I think Rooney's unfair. I think Robbie Fowler's playing the game.
I've got an agenda against Rooney. You've got an agenda for Rooney.
Yeah. And what was the other one we had?
The Sheffield Wednesday shirt signing.
Yeah, we don't want to go there. No. Probably edit that out.
Why?
Someone will do a video on it saying Goldbridge.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Ripping off the
fans. And then next week you're in Pratt of the Week, and then it's fantastic.
But I'm not backing that. The shirt prices are ridiculous. I like a lot of the United shirts, but I'll get one for Kev. In fact, get me one free again like you did last time.
Yeah, I'll try my best, mate. DHgate. I'm joking. What I was going to say was, you've not done a lot. You've been doing United stand streams, but obviously not a lot of that's football ones because of the pre-season. So obviously on those streams, and we've done them, sometimes they descend into a bit of chaos. So with that in mind, the Olympics has just finished, and YouGov released a fantastic statement saying that 27% of Britons reckon they could compete, qualify for a sport at the 2028 Olympics if they started training today. So they've got a 4-year run-up. The top of that list in terms of sport was the 10-meter air rifle shooting.
Yeah.
But 6% of people think if they had 4 years training from now that they could qualify for the 100-meter sprint, which is like, that is the peak of athleticness.
No, we used to do athletics at school. That's just a natural talent. You can't do that. I could do the 10-meter shooting. Table tennis I'm quite good at.
No, but Mark, you've seen the table tennis at the Olympics. Yeah. They're standing about 10 feet away from the table having a rally with the smallest ball.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're making it easier. I would stand right next to it like I do down the leisure centre. I wouldn't stand 10 meters. They're standing far back because they're like, oh, I want to see it for longer. I'm like, I'd just volley it.
9% of people, including Mark, think they could do that. 7% rowing. Rhythmic.
With my arms.
Artistic gymnastics. 3% of people think they could do the gymnastics.
You can't do the gymnastics.
The gymnastics, like the people retire when they're in their late 20s.
I was watching it with my mate a couple of weeks ago when they were on the hoops. It was on in the pub, you know, where they go up like that. And he did the whole routine. And he was like, that wasn't that hard. I went, you wouldn't be able to just
hold yourself up. You
go like that for 2 seconds and go,
I'd be gone.
Yeah.
Water polo's one as well.
Nah,
you try and,
that's, they're having a laugh.
Try and tread water polo. Try and tread in water for over.
I could do the horse riding.
You could not. When have you ever ridden a horse?
I have, actually.
When?
When I was a kid. My family's really into horses. honestly, truthfully, horse riding, I'm going to really, really get in trouble here. Horse riding, right? People who claim it's fitness, that's because your Fitbit's moving because the horse is moving. Secondly, all the jumping, that's the horse. All you got to do is stay on. What, the horse is doing it. They think they're controlling it like they're playing PS5. The horse goes towards a bloody jump and decides whether it wants to jump or not. It's got nothing to do with you.
What, so like AP McCoy, it's just the horse?
I went to Magaluf and went on one of them booking Broncos I won. So you stick me
what
on
do you mean you won? you didn't just win.
Stayed on the longest.
Congratulations, you've won.
No one else is there. I just got up and went, yes, completed it, mate.
I've won.
No, but I could win one of them golds jumping.
Which one would you choose for 4 years? And out of enjoyment as well, because I know you said the rifle.
I'd be good at shooting.
3% of people think they could do skateboarding in 4 years' time.
Oh, no. I could do the breakdancing. That was crap, but they're not doing it in 4 years' time.
Oh, they're not? Is it just out for that one? Fencing, golf's in there
volleyball,
as well?
I'd be good at volleyball.
Volleyball, yeah. But then you'd be part of a team, though, as well. So you're sort of getting lifted up by everybody else. I think some of the individual ones are absolutely crazy. 100-meter breaststroke
that
swimming.
Archery one was unbelievable.
Archery's up there.
I couldn't believe 30%. How far away it was.
Yeah. Oh, with the image when they're showing actually far. Yeah. Also, what they do need to bring back is a really good Olympics game for the PlayStation, because the last good one was 2012.
Yeah, but you only ever play it for.
No, when I was at uni, we used to do a decathlon, and that decided who was doing the washing up and whoever was last. So you just do nice quick 7 events.
Is it just
events.
Button bashing though?
Button bashing, but rhythmic button bashing.
Yeah, that's when it's good. Yeah,
you got to be.
There was a Winter Olympics one on the Mega Drive years ago. If anyone remembers that, it was really good. They used to have the ice skating round
of
the track.
Yeah,
that was really good. And I do like the velodrome for the biking. I'd be good at that. Just getting someone else's slipstream till the end. Pull out the slipstream and it's just pure physics.
Yeah, nice. It's just a bike.
Going for gold. Goldbridge with a gold. I tell you what, you can't get any better marketing than that.
No.
Goldbridge wins the gold.
Would you be...
That'll be right up there with they think it's all over.
But maybe you could go for your Italian
roots.
He stayed
in the slipstream all the way around like he said he would. Yeah. He's going to move out and it's pure physics. He won't need to pedal.
It's just the bike.
And I'll be like this.
It's just the horse.
Yes.
So, okay.
There was something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Next week, Monday show, we're going to do it live on YouTube.
Wow.
Didn't you know?
No, just found out. That's amazing.
Yeah, podcast carries on, but it's going to be live on a Monday from now on. Get ready.
So if you're an audio listener, don't cake your pants, because you'll still get the podcast out at the same time in the same place. But if you want to come and join us live, get involved in the chat, we'll be reading comments out live so you can actually have a physical impact on the podcast. So that'll be exciting, won't it?
I'm just thinking about the Spotify poll this week.
Which sport?
Well, you can put comments on which sport you think.
No, but also I was going to say for the we're going to go back to 2 episodes a week as well.
Yeah, that's preview this weekend.
That's exciting.
Quite excited about that.
But also because this one's been a bit lacking in pundit sort of looking into. By Friday, we'll have everyone's Premier League predictions from the world of YouTube.
Tear them apart.
Stick to football. Rest is football. My dad had a football.
Apparently, Thogden's predicted Ipswich are going to win the league.
Good on him.
He probably would. He's probably got a deal.
No, come on.
He's got a deal with Ipswich.
No.
Yeah, I'll say that for a million. He's played the game.
Yeah, I'd say that for a million.
He's a good lad. He's paid me to say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, lovely stuff. And I'll think of a poll on Spotify.
Yeah, and also we are going to do a live show.
For our 100th show. What show are we on at the moment?
86.
That's going to be coming up in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to do it in
7 weeks.
Birmingham.
Yeah.
So that's the central hub of the country. So
there's no point telling them because you haven't booked it. They'll just be going, oh, we're going to do it in Birmingham.
No, I'm just doing it on the street.
Get the tickets.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the Friday show. Yeah, actually, proper.
I thought this would be the pre-season predictions, but I feel like Friday.
No, but Friday's more about the weekend predictions.
We'll have a Fantasy Premier League.
Yeah.
Super Six.
Yeah.
Got it all to come.
And we could win, lose, or draw. I'm not going to be able to do that with Fozzie.
We didn't do it for the end of the season.
Well, maybe we should bring it back for the podcast, win, lose, or draw.
I just feel like we've got to be careful because we're going to have a lot of games.
Yeah.
So we just need to pick them by Friday.
Yeah, we'll have a chat about
Super
that.
Six is a strong results one.
Yeah.
Fantasy football.
Yeah.
And then we've got results of fantasy.
Yeah.
Relax,
yeah,
calm down.
Chill out.
And everyone can get involved.
Yeah.
All right then.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening.
EFL.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
It needs a bigger section than this in the future.
We'll do it on Friday.
I have Coventry. They lost at home to Stoke.
Yeah.
You've got...
Were you being nice when you replied to me on Twitter going, what's the Charlton score? Because I did just want to go, just Google it.
I was being lazy.
That's fine.
Okay. So who have you got in the Championship?
I'm going for Sunderland.
And they won.
They won, yeah, 2-0. Jack Clark, who, very nice man.
Well done.
And Job still there.
So Coventry lost for me, but they were away to Stoke.
League One.
I went Charlton, won away.
Yeah, against Wigan.
Yep.
That's a big result. People had Wigan up the top of the table.
I think Charlton are going to be a good pick for me.
My season started. I was at St Andrews to watch Birmingham draw with Reading.
Bad result, that.
No, just a good point. Start the season, crack on.
That's terrible. Favourites drawing at home.
League Two, I've gone for Cheltenham Town so far.
Bet they won.
Yes, they did. We're in sixth place.
Notts County drew. I think they were away there.
But what I would say is we're going to be doing a lot of work with the EFL this season.
So we're changeable.
Yeah, we're going to meet a lot of people. We're going to meet, you know, it's like going on holiday and you go, oh, I don't really like going to France. And then
Really like Coventry. I'm changing my mind.
Yeah, you might go to Sunderland and you think this is the place for me.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Cheltenham, Notts County. And obviously we are currently sat in Solihull Moor. So
lost 3-2 to Fylde.
Yeah.
Fylde, if that is their real name.
They were filled in.
I was going to say something a bit bad about Fylde, which I won't.
Okay.
Thanks everyone for listening. Let us know how you did on your picks in the EFL. Thanks for reminding me about that because it's an important section. Charlton are my team of the week.
It's just getting you into it. Once you're in, you'll be indoctrinated and you might stop supporting Man United.
Charlton against Birmingham in the Carabao Cup this week as well.
Yeah, well, head to head. Watch along for that.
I do like Blues, but you picked them, so I went Charlton.
Well, why don't you just pick Blues and we can put something together?
No, because it's a competition.
It's not always a competition.
Look, we both picked Birmingham and we're both level on points.
That'd be nice. We could go to games. No, we could hang out
more. You scammed Blues because you support them.
We could see each other outside of work.
Who's your Premier League team?
Don't really know.
Man United.
I really want nobody to win. I just really don't want Man City to win, so maybe Arsenal.
We're all on the same team now.
And I live in Arsenal.
Thanks everyone for listening. Get your comments in. See you on Friday.
God, it's hot.